Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is The Morning Voice Success Story, where we talk about organizations and businesses in Tucson that are doing good things in our community. We have one of our great partners with us, Hughes Federal Credit Union, and their Vice President of Marketing, Elisa Ross. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Good to see you. And Kate Hoffman is with us. She's the CEO and founder of Earn to Learn. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Elisa, I just want to say thank you for sponsoring The Morning Voice, specifically our Friday Wonder Series, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And the Hughes Federal Credit Union has a great relationship with the U of A, and we appreciate you bringing that on to The Morning Voice. So thank you for that.
And thank you.
Well,
happy to be here.
Well, before we get started, could we have you just each talk a little bit about your own experience and how you got to the position that you're in? Let's talk about you and how you got to be the Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union.
Well, it goes back a long time. I started in credit unions in the early 80s, and I started actually working as a branch manager, worked my way up. Sales and service, took classes at the U of A, took classes at Pima. And after being in an executive role as a vice president of sales and service for many years, right, I was offered an opportunity to take over the marketing department. And because I had some of that experience, seemed like it was a great fit for me. I also had a wonderful mentor at the time. Kelly Terhune-Neely was the president of marketing for many years at Hughes Federal Credit Union, probably like 35 years. And I worked directly under her for most of my career at Hughes.
That's
great. I've been with Hughes now 25 years.
Yeah, she's with Angel, and we like to call Kelly an angel. She's wonderful. Yeah, she's a wonderful person. And how about you? How did you get involved with, well, obviously, I know how you got involved, but tell us a little bit about your trajectory of how you got to where you are.
Well, I initially came to Tucson back in 1993 to go to graduate school at the University of Arizona, and I'm one of those individuals that never left, and my entire family ended up following me out here. So ultimately, I initially started my professional career working in the financial services sector, and it really actually played a pretty significant part in helping to inspire Earn to Learn, which is something that we're going to be talking about today. But I definitely feel like I was one of those people that was struck by a lightning bolt and shifted from for-profit to nonprofit, really wanting to understand how I could potentially make a difference and where were there gaps in services and what was working and what wasn't working. And ultimately, that led to the genesis of Earn to Learn.
That's great. So tell us, that's a good segue. Tell us what Earn to Learn is and what it all means.
So Earn to Learn is a matched savings scholarship opportunity that is supporting predominantly low to moderate income students and families across the state of Arizona. It's a match savings scholarship opportunity. So students actually invest $500 per academic year into their education, and then we match it 8-to-1. And the combination of the student savings coupled with that match, which totals $4,500, can go towards unmet need. So it certainly can go towards tuition if that's needed, but it can also go towards other costs like books and fees and housing, meal plans, parking, transportation, even childcare. And it's really in those costs that are above and beyond tuition where a lot of borrowing is happening. So one of the goals of Earn to Learn is not only to help students with the affordability piece, but to support them through to graduation with the intention of minimizing, if not eliminating, their need to take on student loan debt.
That's great. And it's a big need, and especially with all the students we have in the area here. That's great. So how did Hughes Federal Credit Union, how do you tie in with Earn to Learn?
Well, I don't know how much you know about credit unions, but we're not-for-profit cooperatives, which means we have a volunteer board at the top. Our members are our owners. As a credit union, though, because we have a not-for-profit status, we also invest a lot into the community. Financial education is one of our philanthropic values, and as well as helping kids, obviously. Since 2015, we partnered with Earn to Learn because it was a great match with Hughes to be able to be part of a program that actually helped kids get through college. It teaches them financial education at the same time. teaches them savings, budgeting, all of, you know, financial topics, skill set, all of which are very important to Hughes.
That's great. Our guests this morning are Kate Hoffman, CEO and founder of Earn to Learn, and Lisa Ross, who's the Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union. How does it work? How does a student qualify for being able to be part of the program?
So with the Earn to Learn model, it's based on need. So students who income qualify are able to participate in the program. We are partnered not only with the University of Arizona and Pima Community College, but we're partnered with several other institutions of post-secondary education across the state. So we're supporting students statewide. They find out about the program through various forms of outreach that we do in concert with our partners. Assuming that they income qualify, one of the very first steps is that personal finance training is actually a prerequisite prior to even opening the account with Hughes Federal Credit Union. We think that's really foundational to the model. Mm. Once the student has taken that step and opened the account, and they start to systematically save towards that savings goal of $500 per academic year. We also support the students with a success coaching model that includes continuing education as it relates to personal finance training, but we also do workforce readiness training. We also support the students in getting connected to other resources that are critical to their success, including several of the student support services that are already available on the campuses and helping to make sure they're tapping into those opportunities as well. The goal is really to make sure that they succeed and that they graduate with the credential in hand.
Is there a qualification of where they get that $500? Do they have to earn it? Can they get it from grandma and grandpa? Do they have to, how do they fill the actual savings account or the account that they put together?
So
do you care where it comes from, where the money comes from?
So we don't technically source where those deposits are coming from.
Right.
They're predominantly coming from the student population that we are serving, because we're also serving adult learners with this model. So it's not just students coming up out of high school. It's also adults may be looking to reskill or upskill or re-enter a post-secondary pathway. But we do have instances where parents may be contributing or grandparents may be contributing. And in some cases, we do have special grant funding to support foster youth and youth experiencing homelessness, where we actually provide a seed deposit of that savings goal on behalf of those students.
That's great. So what attracted Hughes to be part of this Earn to Learn process?
Well, Hughes, I don't know if you know this about us, but we're an underserved community chartered credit union, which means we help those that are low income. And also we provide financial education classes. Last year, we provided 94 financial education classes for 2,194 students.
Wow.
We work with TUSD. We also work with JTED. We've taught at Pima College this past year. And we just feel it's important because so many kids are growing up not understanding finances, and they're not necessarily getting it from their parents. So that's where we've been able to step in and help. I think our credit union also looks at trying to help people not get themselves into debt. And we all know that student loan debt is very high right now. So this is just one way for us to participate in a program to help students pay for college or trade school.
And this is a major part of your mission as a credit union. This is what you do. You give back to the community. And that's a really good cog in the wheel to say that the what you've developed is really powerful for that. So that's good that you're involved in that. And how does a student then develops an account at Hughes Federal Credit Union, becomes a member then, and then that's how it all starts?
Yes, that's a great question. So students can open up a membership with Hughes. It requires them to deposit $5 to start. Mm. They can set up a direct deposit. They can come in and make deposits on a regular basis. And it's real simple. They can go online and open up that membership.
That's great.
And anyone that lives, works, or worships in Tucson, within Tucson, would qualify for membership.
Yeah. That's great. Our guests this morning are Kate Hoffman, CEO and founder of Earn to Learn, and Lisa Ross, Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union. Money. After a short break, we'll discuss the outcomes of what happens when they get this money and what they do. This is KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk radio, and you are listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking about money this morning. Our guests are Kate Hoffman, CEO and founder of Earn to Learn, and Lisa Ross, who is Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union. We're talking about this great program called Earn to Learn. And do you have any stats, maybe Lisa, of what you guys have been able to do so far with this program, with the students that you've been helping?
Yes, we've had incredible success with this program. Since 2015, Hughes has helped 742 students reach their college savings goals through Earn to Learn.
That's impressive.
Since inception, Hughes has wired over $570,000 out of Earn to Learn accounts. And when you match that by 8-to-1, that's over $4.5 million.
Congratulations.
That's significant.
That is great. That's fantastic. Thank you for that contribution to our community. That's great, and thank you for doing that. Is this a program that's only now in Tucson, or are there some exciting things happening in other places?
Well, it initially started here in Arizona when it launched in January of 2013, but I'm extremely excited to share with you that we have now been approached by well over half the country expressing an interest in replicating the model. So we've now taken this concept that we piloted initially here with Hughes Federal Credit Union, and we've expanded into approximately 10 other states already, and literally was in meetings this morning talking about another 10 states that are at the table wanting to replicate the model. And I think part of it speaks to the fact that we need some new tools in the tool chest, to support student success. And this appears to be having a very positive impact.
You know, this program is called The Morning Voice, but Friday morning, like we talk about, is business success and organization success. And you've just recounted some really great successes that Earn to Learn and Hughes participating in that has done. And that's exactly what this is all about. Now, if someone who is a member or wanted to be a member and get that $5 account started and everything at Hughes, you have other resources that are available for people to learn about their own financial education, help them manage their money, right?
Absolutely. And it's for people of all ages. So on our website, we have a platform called Money Coach. It's online and it's designed to help members of all ages achieve their financial goals. Topics include things like buying your first car, investing, buying your first home, budgeting savings, reducing debt, and more.
This can be important for young people who are just going into college, but it can also be important for the back end of people who are maybe going to be on a fixed income, and how do they manage their money to make it through the rest of the their retirement, or if you have a family, and how are you going to make ends meet? These are all important resources for everybody at all ages, right?
Absolutely, all ages. Members, folks can come in and visit a Hughes branch and talk to a financial coach at any time, and they'll sit down with them, review their finances, offer recommendations for improving their credit, for example, helping them save more. We also have this really great program called Credit Smart. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's through our mobile app and online banking. If someone has our mobile app and they sign up for Credit Smart, they can get their FICO score every single day. They can look at their FICO. They can run simulations to see how to improve their credit. We send offers to them that make sense based on their current financial situation. And if you ever wanted to see your credit report, you could pull it up.
That's
great. And it would be the most current credit report. It's an excellent tool.
I can validate that in the sense that I have a walking app that I use, and every day I look at it every single day and make sure I'm getting in my 10,000 steps. And I know that's a silly thing, but it does keep you on track, and that's a good thing to have at the ready for people. Our guests this morning are Kate Hoffman, CEO and founder of Earn to Learn, and Lisa Ross, Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union. We got some interesting things going on in the country in terms of, the cost of everything is rising, but certainly the cost of a 4-year or 2-year education in an institution is, just seems like over the last 20 years has just, doubled, tripled maybe. And so this is an important thing to help young people, and people are going back to college to learn how to manage their money. And this is a great way to get them started, right?
I agree. And I feel like I had mentioned moments ago that I view Earn to Learn as being an important tool in a tool chest, but that tool chest requires multiple tools in right. order for students to truly be able to move forward and succeed in pursuing a credential.
That's good. How do they find this information? How do they get engaged in the process? What do they have to do? What does a student have to do? What do their parents have to do? If they're an adult learner and they're coming back, where do they go to find information about Learn to Earn?
So we would
Earn to Learn. I said Learn to Earn. Learn to Earn too. That's a good thing too. It's important that you learn to earn as well as earn to learn. So.
That's right.
We're trying to teach them how to earn, so that's good. Yeah.
So we typically direct them to our website, earntolearn.org, and on our website, it actually sets them up for success in terms of walking through what's required in order to become a successful participant in the program.
That's great. And so they could also come to Hughes Federal Credit Union, and you could refer them to that program as well. So if they came to a money coach or a financial coach, they would be able to have that information at the ready at the Hughes as well. So,
oh, absolutely. We also have information online on Earn to Learn. So if they went to the Hughes Federal Credit Union website and they type in Earn to Learn, they will land on that page with a link to the program. So it's super easy.
I'm an old school guy. I'd like to go in and talk to somebody face to face about, especially when it comes to finances and so forth.
Well, sure, any one of our financial coaches would be glad to help them.
But these young whippersnappers who are just getting out of high school and I teach them at the U of A. They probably would love the fact to just go online and see what the information is and get started on the program. So, what's one habit? I'm going to pin you down and say, what's one habit, since we're talking about managing money and learning how to do it, what's a good habit for someone to do in order to make their own personal finances better? What's one thing? One is to use the app, probably.
One is to use the app. Well, we have a great mobile app that would help with that. The other I would say is just to save 20%. 20% of whatever their income is put into a savings account. They could set up a direct deposit to go directly to their account at Hughes. We make it super easy for them to do. We have financial calculators, savings calculators that can calculate the interest depending on the amount of money they're saving on a regular cadence to help them reach their financial goals.
I would say most people probably, they get 100% and they spend 110%.
I would probably say that's true.
And they put it on credit cards and build into the future. And it's good, especially at an early age, to learn to save.
Absolutely. Yeah. And credit isn't necessarily a bad thing, but managing it is important, and we're happy to help.
Especially if you're young and you want to buy a car or a house in the future, you got to build that credit and make that good. So what's one piece of advice, since we're going to be talking after the break, after one more guest, we're going to be talking about Wonder and the University of Arizona. What's one piece of advice you would give to college-bound students about just in general, but also about finances? When your Earn to Learn program, what would you say to a young person who comes to you? What would you give them as a word of advice?
I think that in light of some of the comments you were making earlier about the cost of education going up, the cost of a lot of different goods and services going up, I feel like there could be a growing percentage of our students and families that might feel disheartened that it may not be the right next step for them. And what I would say is there are a number of resources and tools available. And I think really it's recognizing that those are available to you and that they really can make a difference in the affordability of a post-secondary education. And knowing, as I said again, there's multiple tools in this tool chest available to help students and families be successful and not to give up hope.
Yeah.
Really.
You know, they say that you can take away someone's, they can get divorced, they can take away their income, take away their health even. You never take away the education.
That's
the education is there forever.
And that's right.
It's always an asset.
And it helps, an investment.
And it helps build towards the future, too. You mentioned success, so this is where we talk about success. So what is your definition of success? How do you define success for yourself or in your life or for financial or whatever? What's your definition of success?
I would say to be able to give back to the community in a way that makes a difference, providing financial education to those that need it, helping people improve their financial life, helping them reach their financial goals.
And so as you talk about that, this program, Earn to Learn fits right in with that mission of success, right? It gets the opportunity for students, whether they be young new students into college or whether they be people coming back after a career and want to get their educated updated. This success then translates to Earn to Learn, right?
Absolutely translates to Earn to Learn. And then we hope that we have a continuing relationship with those Earn to Learn students even after they're finished going through the program and they finish college and they come back to the credit union and they need help. We're there to help them.
Yeah, if they want to buy a car, they want to get a house, they start a young family, this is a good resource to have. And that's success through the process of beginning with them and then moving through that. So that's a great definition of success, and we appreciate what you guys do for the community. So
thank you.
Thank you. How do you define success?
As it relates to the work that I do, it's reaching more and more families with this opportunity and inspiring hope that there is a path forward.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately recognizing that students are not just going to school to get the degree or get the credential, but they're going to school to get those credentials, if you will, to get a job in the workforce, and that business and industry is so excited to see more and more talent coming forward, and we hope we can play a small part.
Well, you have. You've played a huge role, both of you. Thank you for what you do for the community. Learn to Earn. We appreciate what you do. We appreciate what Hughes Federal Credit Union has done and does in the community every single day. Thank you to Kate Hoffman, CEO and founder of Earn to Learn, and Lisa Ross, Vice President of Marketing at Hughes Federal Credit Union. This is The Morning Voice on 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk radio, and you're listening to Success, where we talk about the good things going on in Tucson. I can't think of two more representative people of the good things going on in Tucson than you two.
Well,
and thank you for what you do for Tucson. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having us on your show.
Oh, yeah. And thank you for I want to thank you for your sponsorship too of the Wonder program, because that's really an important part of talking about the good things going on in Tucson. So thank you for that. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host. It was great to have the folks from Hughes Federal Credit Union and Earn to Learn in here, Matt. They were great, good friends of ours, and we appreciate what they did for us.
Absolutely.
And sponsoring the Wonder portion, we'll get to in a little bit here. It was great last night as well to see you and to see all the gang at the eat and greet. Bill, you were there.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. It happened to be my 68th birthday, so we had a birthday
cake. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I made a big announcement that we had a birthday in the house and made a big deal out of it, and it was actually, it's my half birthday yesterday. Bill and I are exactly 18 months apart, so I made a big deal about a birthday, and then I recognized myself and thinking that he was going to get it. It was great to see all the listeners out there. We'll recap that a little later in the program. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about a video. We're on radio, and we got some Facebook going on, but we're going to talk a little bit about video. We have a couple of guests with us that'll join in the conversation. Good morning. Excuse me. Dave Wing, who is an instructor at the College of Fine Arts School of Theater, Film, and Television at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And our good friend Scott Blake, a professional videographer and longtime production guy at one of the local TV stations. Good morning, Scott Blake.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And our own Bill Ackerley. He's co-owner of Ackerley Advertising and a producer of The Morning Voice and my partner in all the crazy things we do. Good morning, Bill, to you.
Good morning.
So we're going to talk about video and how important that is to in today's world. We all carry around these cell phones in our pockets, and lots of people are looking at video on small screens, on computer screens, on TV screens, and at the gas pump. They're looking at screens are everywhere. And so video has become a very important part of the marketing and communications experience that we have. So before we get started, let's talk a little bit about how each of you got involved in video, film, and production, what your path was to kind of go over the last few years to get where you are. Dave, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your career and how you got to be an instructor at the College of Fine Arts at the School of Theater, Film, and Television.
Well, my track started out, I got out of the service actually in Air Force in 1973 and was looking for work and hooked up, I think it was with Manpower or whatever it was called then, and went out and actually got a job pulling weeds in a trailer court. And I was out there, you know, with a hoe and in the hot sun. It was during the summer, you know, about 110 degrees. And I don't know whether it was the sun an epiphany or what, but something said, there's got to be something better than this. And I thought, film. That's it. I'm going into film. And
that'll be easy.
Easy, yeah, right. Easier than pulling weeds, I think. You know, so, yeah, so I hooked up with the University of Arizona, got into the communications program. There wasn't a film and television program at the time. They were evolving it. And I was just talking to Scott, too, about Bill Wolf was instrumental there in the studios at KUAT and was lucky enough to get on as part of the crew there. So that was kind of my entree to starting my television career was classes with instructors that actually worked at KUAT, you know, for their jobs as well as taught and got background in studio production there as well. I also started freelancing and worked as a PA, you know, production assistant for no pay or low pay for people around town and kind of busted my chops on getting into field production as well. I always wanted to get into film rather than video, and video was just starting to evolve then, so.
That's great. And then you're an instructor at the U of A, so you've translated that into teaching young people about what it's like to be a production guy in today's economy and so forth.
I am. I actually started the film and video production department at Pima Community College up there in digital arts and retired or semi-retired, I guess, in 2014.
Right.
Continued to teach online for Pima and then taught face-to-face for Scottsdale Community College. I taught their cinematography classes up there and drove up a couple of times a week, and then that rolled into teaching at the U of A for FTV TV and the film and video program. I had taught for them off and on over the years. You know, somebody would go on sabbatical or they needed somebody for a class, they'd call me in. You know, I was lucky, you know, I was on the roster, I guess, if you will, to teach as an adjunct over there. And in the past couple of years, I've been teaching for them as a career track faculty, right. Adjunct faculty for the department as well. So.
Great. That's Dave Wink. He's an instructor at the University of Arizona. Scott Blake, you're a longtime professional videographer. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Oh, man. I just want to point out that video killed the radio star.
I love it.
That's kind of when I got into video and film production was that time, late 70s or whatever. You know, I wanted to make films. I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
Started at the U of A in the drama department
thinking,
oh, yeah, I'm going to be a big star. This is going to be great and everything. You know, not realizing how actually terrified I was when I was on stage and, you know, how difficult it was, how thick a skin you had to have to enjoy that kind of career. But, you know, I was more interested after realizing my lack of talent in technical production.
Right.
You know, I liked the behind-the-scenes stuff. I liked lighting. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked telling other people what to do.
Right.
I liked directing.
Right.
I had worked some menial jobs, much like Dave, you know, bartending and whatnot. And one day I just kind of stumbled into the old, what's it called, the Golden Bee restaurant, which is out where the Mountain Oyster Club is,
right.
You know, the Kellogg Mansion.
Right.
It was this beautiful, you know, French Continental restaurant. And I walked in thinking, oh, I'll become a busboy here or something. I'll ask him for a job. And a guy was shooting a commercial. He had, you know, some wooden sticks, and he had a 16-millimeter camera and two lights. And, you know, I kind of sidled over and was looking over his shoulder and, you know, checking everything out. And he was like, hey, man, you want a job? You know, grab that light and move it over there. So I guess that was my first, you know, production job. He was making a commercial for the place. And I just thought that was really cool.
Right.
And I moved from drama into radio TV production. Just because I thought that was a good way to go. This is something I can do. I like it. And I like that as the years went on, everything changed. You know,
right.
Tape went out,
2-inch tape.
Film went out.
Yeah.
Tape came in. Yeah. Tape changed. Yeah. 2-inch tape. 1-inch tape. You know, video cameras.
Now
with,
it's all
with
about,
an outboard record deck.
Right.
You know, each weighing 35 pounds. You know, you have to lug around. So I don't know. It was fun. I liked that when they would come in and say, "All right, everything you know is wrong.
Right.
Learn this."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that was fun. I became a TA at U of A and for radio TV production. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say to all my former students, everything I tell you is wrong. Everything has changed. You know more than I now. I guess I would really lean towards lighting.
Right.
That really kind of sparked me. I liked photography.
Right.
Yeah, when I was younger, when I was like in high school, my stepfather gave me an old 1950s Leica camera.
Right.
Totally manual or whatever. He didn't know how to use it or whatever. He was like, "Here, maybe you can figure this thing out." So I took it and I loved it. It was so cool,
right.
You know, all these dials and everything. How does this work? So I got really interested in photography and hooked up with some people at the U of A who did films. There were a couple of guys who worked in the medical film department and they had access to, I think, an Eclair, really nice 16-millimeter camera. And this was 1977, maybe, and there were some music videos out. I think, you know, who the Big Bopper coined music video in like 1959. So music videos were happening. There were like children's shows that had things on or whatever. Right. Wallace and Ladmo in Phoenix. I grew up in Phoenix watching the Wallace and Ladmo children's show. And they did these fabulous parodies of Beatles songs or whatever. And, of course, they had video that went along with them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, man, this is really cool. There was a show in Australia that started doing music videos, you know, kind of before MTV or whatever. And these guys said, oh, man, let's do a music video. We'll become famous. So 10cc had a song out called The Wall Street Shuffle. And I had been a mime as just, you know, kind of a thing that I did in drama. It's like, all right, nobody else wants to do this, so I'll do this. And Arizona Civic Theater Company's advertising symbol was a mime that year. They had billboards all over the place with a guy named Berger, who was a mime, had a fabulous face or whatever. Same haircut as me. Same white face or whatever. So they hired me to go around and hand out handbills, whatever. And I was just, that's kind of where I got my start. You know, I got the bug for doing stuff like that. We wanted to do this music video. They hired me to be the star of Wall Street Shuffle.
Right.
We built a set, you know, with slides and fake money flying all around and everything. And we did this video, I don't know, it's probably in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah. Or on a 2-inch tape.
Nobody ever saw it.
Yeah.
No, it was on 16-millimeter film.
Millimeter.
I was like,
we can still play those.
Doing film. Awesome.
And you know, the funny thing about that camera, Scott, that MPR, I knew those biomedical communications guys there.
Yeah, they were doing heart surgery.
And when they, And they were shooting film in those days. Yeah. There was no video for operation. So that camera had to be pristine. It was, it was all, you know, rubbed down and set so they could take it into the operating room. Well, when they switched over to video, I knew that camera was sitting in a closet over there. So I called them up and said, "Hey, you guys want to sell that?" And they said, "Well, we can't, Dave. We've got to put it into auction. But when it goes into auction, we'll let you know." So they put that MPR into auction. It was a French camera, Eclair, and nice camera, as you know. And so the day it went into auction, they let me know. I went over and bid on it, and I got everything except for one of the magazines. It had a 4-magazine case, and the other magazine went to a guy who worked for Ray Manley.
Oh.
And And so I had to call him up and say, hey, you aren't going to use that magazine. And I got the camera and won the bid, and I'm not giving up my camera. And he said, I'll give you the mag, Dave. We, you know, I knew Bill over there.
Let's take a quick break here. We got our break time, and then we'll come back, talk a little bit more about getting into video, and we'll talk to Bill about his career and how he got in. This is The Morning Voice. We're talking with Dave Wing, Scott Blake, and Bill Ackerley about video and how they got into the business and what that means to Tucson businesses. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're on Facebook. We're on video, right? So where do we go to find that, Matt?
1030 The Voice is the Facebook page. Hit the like and follow button. Yep.
Great. Sounds good.
Well, see your voice, Ed.
See your voice. There you go. Well, Bill Ackerley is also here with us, and you have a long storied career in video as well. Bill, tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Yeah, when my dad started the advertising agency, he came out of the radio business, so we literally started out with art cards and 35-millimeter slides, and back in the day, the technical directors would punch those live during the broadcast. And then in the 70s, he bought a Bolex camera with an Ingenieur lens, and I remember it was a big deal. And we started shooting film for our clients, and one of our big clients was Levy's Department Store, and Ed and I were in high school, and we had floodlights with blue bulbs in them that we carried around that store, and we worked like dogs carrying those lights around, but we didn't have any practical training or anything. We just flooded it with
light. Burned yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, we did film for about 10 years, and then the mobile video came in, and at that point we started hiring out. And then in 2006, I bought my first camera when the prosumer cameras became affordable. I bought a Sony high definition camera, and then later on hired Scott to shoot our television commercials in his semi-retirement now. So if anyone needs a video for their website, or they need a TV commercial, we've got the crew to do it. And one other thing I want to say, during the course of my tenure, I took a class at Pima College on lighting. And I had one of the best instructors, and that was Dave Wing. And a joke kind of started around town. I don't know if you've heard about this, but anytime a crew slows down because there's lighting and I'm working on it, I always say the joke, "What would Dave Wing say?" And it always gets a laugh because you've touched a lot of people in this town, and they've taken your class.
Time is money, right? Yeah.
Dave Wing would not be happy with this delay right now.
Well, you guys are going to stick around for another half hour, but let's end this segment by talking about what your most memorable video or film project was that you've worked on in the last 30, 40 years. So, Scott, let's start with you. Name a project that was just really memorable.
At the U of A, I got hooked up with the Native American Literature Department.
Right.
And they had a project where they were trying to document Native American stories and language and all that as kind of a preservation thing. And we worked with, writers like Leslie Marmon Silko, wrote scripts, and who else we work with? John Crouch.
John Crouch, yep. I remember John.
Who did a film on the Apache Reservation, which kind of blended the story of a modern kid who was losing his way, and he finds his way back through the native traditions or whatever. It was called Apache Mountain Spirit. And it got invited to a film festival in France, in Amiens, France. And that was the most debauched weekend I think I had ever spent in my life. I came back so exhausted, I think I looked like Keith Richard. I sat down on the plane next to a guy who immediately called the stewardess to move him to another seat. But that was great. I think that was the highlight of my filmmaking career.
That's great. How about you, Dave? What's a good memory you have of making some films?
Well, there's lots. Excuse me. There's been many. Yeah. You know, a standout for me, I was a you know, started out as lighting and camera operator on a show for Nickelodeon, actually, called Hey Dude.
Hey Dude, wow.
And
the Tankerberty Guest Ranch.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, trudge out there in the early morning. And the guys, they were from Knoxville that did that show. And when they originally came out and did their rec, you know, looked at locations and whatnot and picked out there by the Tankerberty Guest Ranch, they were right... They were right next to Paul McCartney's
right.
place, actually out there. And it was nice weather. You know, it was like, you know, some of our stellar Arizona weather, the time we want to be here.
Yeah.
And they didn't start up production until March. And we had a string of high temperatures, and it went to 100 and stayed there, you know, for the rest of the summer. And so those guys just cooked, you know, and we always teased them like, oh, this is parka weather, you know, for us. But no, it was a great time out there to work with those guys. Graham Yost was the writer who went on to fame after that, did Speed, and now is a producer of a lot of sci-fi kind of oriented work. Graham was great. He'd be in there in the typewriter, you know, pre-computers, jamming out, you know, script changes at lunch. And the cast was all great, you know, young, you know, starting actors and actresses. And it was a lot of fun. I was with them for a couple of seasons. So that was kind of a highlight to operate. We were using high-tech camera gear.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. You guys are going to stick around for the Wonder Hour, where we talk a little bit about how U of A plays into the video world and teaching people. But all four of us, all five of us in this room, are all graduates of the University of Arizona. So we'll talk a little bit about that. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. Thank you for being here. Follow us on Facebook. We'll be back after the break.
Follow along with us on Facebook and YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the page. See your voice. The Morning Voice will be right back.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. With us, our guests this morning are Dave Wing, an instructor in the College of Fine Arts School of Theater, Film, and Television at the U of A. Good morning again, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Scott Blake, who is a professional videographer and one of our helpers with our video. Good morning to you, Scott.
Thank you.
And our own Bill Ackerley, who's co-owner of Ackerley Advertising and producer of The Morning Voice.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, we are all sitting in this room. Adam's with us this morning. We're all graduates of the University of Arizona. We all got all four of us took radio and film and TV as our undergrad. At least that was my major. I was a BFA in film and television, or I guess at the time it was called radio and TV.
Right. But RTV.
And then it moved to media arts. Now it's theater, film, and television. But all four of us have that technical background in school and so forth. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Bill, let's talk about your favorite memory of doing a video commercial for Ackerley Advertising.
Well, I'd have to go to back several years to the San Pedro Golf Course down in Benson. We had booked a shoot where we were going to actually rent a helicopter and do some aerials from that. And
cool.
At the time, I was taking Dave's class at Pima College, and I said, "Have you ever done helicopter work?" And he's, "Oh yeah, I have." And so he gave me some tips, and I put the camera on a monopod. You told me to do that, and I got this one stick underneath it, and I held onto that thing for dear life as we as we flew over that golf course. And
with the doors open in the helicopter, hanging out.
Yeah, we had it was a Robinson 440. It had a four-seater, and I always show people the picture of me it's on my business card, of me hanging out of the helicopter, and I said, "Don't be too impressed, because the still photographer I brought with is Martha Lockhart, Aaron Lockhart's mother, was leaning out farther than I was to get the picture of me out of that helicopter." But that shoot was a red letter day for me. It was one of those kind of things that I put it on my business card because it was so good. But that commercial ended up running for about 10 years here in Tucson.
That's in the day before drones, and so everything was taken by send up people. And
Human drone.
Yeah, the human drone. So.
And it wasn't cheap either.
We had that helicopter for about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It flew in from Marana, then it flew down to Benson, and then it flew back, and then we got off and had lunch, And it was over $1,000 to book that helicopter.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and now nowadays a drone goes up. Every realtor in Tucson is using a drone and getting video on on drones, and you see it all over TV now. So we're dating ourselves a little bit here, guys, but that's okay. So, Dave, we talked earlier about lighting and how important lighting is. And, of course, you were talking about that a little bit too, Scott, about how important lighting is. Let's talk about that, about how lighting makes a good video. Obviously, there's 8,000 other elements that go into it, good directing, good planning, good script writing, good video, good content, good actors like Scott and so forth. But, Dave, why is lighting so important?
Well, you know, I tell my students, you know, there, like you say, there's many aspects to production and things that we have to consider, and certainly lighting's part of the story. You know, what kind of mood do you want to evoke? What kind of feel do you want to impart? You know, is it dramatic? Is it upbeat? You know, is it high key, low key? You know, low key, we think of noir, you know, film and the dark
shadows.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. And then high key comedy, you know, and so, you know, we kind of delve into that. And certainly, you know, back in the old days when I was shooting film, you know, you got out there with your meter and your metering and you're doing ratios and
color temperature meters.
To make sure that everything's going to look okay. You know, now you punch the button and you can go auto on your digital camera
and white balance and
your white balance and everything comes into play. But that's not to say there's not still an art to that and working with lighting to tell the story, and that's what it comes down to. And I tell students, well, you know, don't worry about it. If you mess up in the end, you know, there's some lighting problems or something, just tell me it's an experimental project.
I was pushing the envelope there.
You know, we all had good training in video production, and in the early days, Bill and I were in film, but then we went into video. And Scott, I probably couldn't count the number of productions you've done in local production for commercials for untold numbers of businesses here in Tucson, not only for our company, but also for TV stations and so forth. So why is professional video? Why can't I just go out with my iPhone and just take a quick video and slap that up on TV? Why would someone want to get Ackerley Advertising or Dave Wing or, more importantly, Scott Blake to come out and shoot that video? Why shouldn't I just do it with my phone and throw it up on my website and say, that's good? Why should I hire a professional videographer?
Well, you can, but it's all about creating an image and a sense of trust, whatever. I mean, it's like using good grammar.
Right.
You know, if you don't know how to do this properly, how can I trust you to serve my needs properly? So, you can just...
And you kind of have an eye, too. You have a creative eye. You can see things that maybe somebody else couldn't see. And
well, I've always pretended I was an artist.
Right.
I wanted to be an artist, but my hands don't cooperate with my eyes.
Right, and your brain.
So
yeah.
Photography was like a natural way to kind of shortcut that.
You know, you mentioned photography. I have to give you a quick story. An analogy to this is that, you know, since I was a little baby, I've had a lot of pictures taken of me, and I continue. We just did one out in the hallway a little bit ago, and so I have tons of pictures of me everywhere. And I was running for mayor, and we went down to Stephen Meckler's studio, and he has a beautiful little studio there, and white wall and everything. And so he gets it all set up, and he, you know, turns the lights on, and really worked hard on the lighting, and had it perfect set up. And he says, "Okay, let's just take a test shot here." Click. Then we shot 500 other things. The very first picture he took of me,
that's the one,
is
right?
The picture that I have now that I still use, and it was amazing to me. And I tell people, you got to have a professional do this who can see what and do it the way that it needs to be done. And so having a professional videographer shoot your video, there's a reason why you hire people to do it, because they, you know, it's just 10 times, 100 times better than what you can do yourself. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and you want to listen to them.
Right. Yeah.
No, maybe we should stand over here because blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, I guess we can put your baby in it. But, yeah.
Well, I always like to say, too, that I think that like Scott's had a vast experience in still photography, that the best, cinematographers and best lighting people come out of still photography because there was a requirement to know exposure values and contrast ranges. And even to the extent, I process my own film and mm-hmm. printed my own mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. film, too. Yeah. And so you kind of learned there, and that kind of transitioned over into the motion picture realm.
Yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm.
I would also say that when you talk about editing, I can remember Bill, you and Gene being up into the wee hours with razor blades and rubber cement, taking 16mm film and
scotch tape.
Yeah, putting it together. And
back then we did it with leader tape because the TV stations had film chains. And then we go into the station and do the final production.
Free leader tape.
AB rolls. Yeah. And we're dating ourselves here. But
timing.
But that's good because all of that language that we use from film editing goes over into the software for Final Cut Pro if you're using it.
Yeah.
They have bins. Bins were where you used to hang the film while you were waiting to edit it in so it wouldn't get dusty.
Exactly.
So that, they all have the entomology, whatever it is on that is pertinent.
I often say that the experience that we had shooting video and photography and all that when we were young guys in our high school and into our college years when we were getting our degrees, that I kind of have an eye for print design and so forth. And that comes from that training of being able to see the actual layout and what it's going to look like. And, and like you say, the client wants to put their baby in it or they want to, put this. And so you go ahead and shoot that, but then you take a second shot, a cover shot that you, and move the camera and do it the way you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, the one that the professional photographer shoots is the one that's picked because it's so much better than the amateur.
There's also the final part of the advertising agency's job, and that is the return on investment. Is this going to sell this product? That as an agency producer, that's what I'm always looking at, is the beyond after it's viewed, how people are going to react.
And the other thing,
it establishes trust.
Yeah. The other thing that we do is we look at it so many times while we're producing it. We look at it 18,000 times and run it back and see it again and so forth.
Is this telling the message?
Yeah. The average viewer sees 15 seconds of it, and then that's the message. So we got to take hours of video and edit it down into something that's meaningful and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have done a lot of that, and when we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit of hiring good actors, and we talked about good lighting, and we'll talk about a few more little stories of what you guys have and how the University of Arizona has prepared our students for good quality careers over in Los Angeles and other places as videographers and in the film industry all over the world, actually. So you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Our guests this morning are Dave Wing from University of Arizona, Scott Blake, professional photographer, Bill Ackerley. Adam Ackerman's with us in studio today. We had a great event last night at Casa del Rio, and we're all, we have, what'd you call that?
A sugar high.
A sugar high. We ate so much and had Bill's birthday cake last night, so we're all, and now we bring in young donuts. I see the young donuts are being eaten out in the thing, so we're really doubling down. It's kind of like, what's that hair of the dog? We got young donuts after we had a sugar high from last night. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break.
And remember, you can join us on video, what we're talking about now, on Facebook and YouTube. And if our guests would like a little side project, they're welcome to come back here and give me lots of advice culled from their years of experience for our Facebook and YouTube feeds. 1030 The Voice. 1030 The Voice is the 1030 The Voice is the Facebook page. 1030 The Voice is the YouTube page. Let's go, Ed.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Thank you, Matt. And our guests this morning are Bill Ackerley from Ackerley Advertising,
good
a video and videographer by trade, and Scott Blake, a professional photographer, and Dave Wing from the University of Arizona. And we're talking about video. This is Wonder, where we talk about good things going on at the University of Arizona. This segment is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union, our good friends who were on earlier this morning, great friends of the show. And so, Dave, it's really important, and I guess, Scott, too, we talked about how a person can take their iPhone or their Samsung phone and they can take a shot of anything and put it up on their Facebook page or on take a video and put it on YouTube. But we've made the case that maybe having a professional help you with that. And so so a person could be get into the business and start shooting video and so forth without any training, without any education. But Dave, why is it important that we have a film and television school at the University of Arizona? And why are we investing the time, effort, and resources to train people on video and film in 2025? Why don't we just turn them loose and let them do whatever they want to do? Why do we bring them into the classroom?
Well, I think that it's important to have a basis for film, video production. You know, how does one put that together? Certainly, we can cite filmmakers that never went to film school and they were very successful. But I think we can name many more, though, that did to get the basics of filmmaking. And I've had several students in the past who have connections to Los Angeles and right. the film industry one way or the other. And they've been kind of told, well, you know what, go take a class, get the basics, you know, learn the terminology, learn the approach, you know, learn something about lighting, learn something about production,
then
learn something about post.
Yeah,
then come back and we'll help you
learn
out.
The rules first and then go break them.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. I think something earlier too in our conversation, you know, about photography and imagery and those kinds of things, I tell students too, I go the route that it's not what's in front of the camera that's necessarily important. It is, you know, we got that mise en scene, you know, certainly out there, but it's the 12 inches behind the camera, you know,
right.
and it's our eye and brain and, you know, what do we do creatively to do that. So, you know, I always work with students to try to build it and go from a basic, you know, production approach and build it up. And at the U, we're well equipped. You know, we have digital cameras. We have post-production facilities, mm-hmm. Hanson Production Lab. You know, we were endowed certainly with that. We just did renovations on the Maroney Theater. That's right. A really nice presentation
Peter
space.
Maroney.
Yeah. Good old Peter. He got me into the program originally, you know.
And the iDream and widescreen is a great showcase of the student films in the spring, and the seniors are doing their shorts and presenting them and give awards out and all that. And it's also a very small, tight-knit group over in Los Angeles. It's amazing how our students from the U of A, how many people are in the business from the University of Arizona. And honestly, it's about connections, about who you know. And part of what the U of A brings to those students is the ability to pick up the phone and call Scott Steitler or call somebody who's a graduate of the U of A who put him on a shoot and put him on a TV show or whatever they would do.
Right. And I just printed up a short list here. You know, we got Jerry Berkheimer, you know, producer, right. went through the program. Tyler Gillette, co-producer on Scream, Amy Duddleston, Last Week Tonight, and many more alumni, you know.
Right.
And
we've had students on the Colbert show, on the Leno show when it was on and so forth, a lot of NBC mm-hmm. affiliations on the East Coast and West Coast. So the department's done a great job of launching students on their career. But having that base of education is really important. So
yeah, and one thing that we just implemented is the Los Angeles Bureau, you know, where we've opened up a program over there between the University of Arizona and Film Independent. We've got a space over there where alumni and students can go and meet and work. And so we've got a footprint there. Lizanne Schuyler was instrumental in that, and our director certainly getting that going this year for students. So they've got a moonshine room, they say 50-person capacity, a Mulholland Drive room, 15-person, screening room, 35, casting rooms, lobby, cafe. So it's something
nice.
For alumni can interact with students, you know, from here coming over to LA to do production, as you say. So we've got a footprint there now.
That's great. That's Dave Wing. He's an instructor at the School of Theater, Film, and Television at the U of A, and Scott Blake's with us. And so, Scott, we're going to start with you and ask you this question. We're going to ask you, we've been talking for the last hour or so about all the good things that are going on in video and film and current day and so forth, and you've done a lot of good work for Ackerley Advertising over the years. And we all know that right there in the middle of Tucson, between Campbell and Park and Speedway and 6th Street, there's a huge, huge, giant red brick buildings and lots of things going on with
the Harvard of the West.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we always ask the guest on this segment, what is one thing about the University of Arizona that is full of wonder for you?
Oh, wonder. Well, for years I wondered why the film department was not connected to the drama department, right. But they have done that.
Yes.
And I think that's wonderful.
Right. So the actors and actresses are being trained and doing their part on the shows and so forth,
yeah.
But they're also being cross-trained in video and film.
Yes.
And that's really brilliant. Yeah. And
that's great, because that's a career path.
Yeah.
Another career path that they can go.
And the filmmakers get to select those people to come and be in their I Dream and widescreen shoots and so forth. There's been a great synergy between the two. It's really mm-hmm. excellent. So when mm-hmm. they do a call out for actors, they got a whole bunch of them sitting right over there in the theater department that come over
yeah.
and do it. So
yeah.
That's a good idea.
True.
What's something full of wonder for you, Dave?
Well, it's always wondrous every day. You know,
I wonder where I am.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder, wonder.
I don't have to wonder if I wake up in the morning and I can reach out and I don't hit wood.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
That's great.
But no, I think you know, the progress that the department's making, the faculty that we have is wondrous to me. You know, we've got Hollywood screenwriters, you know,
right.
Hollywood post-production people teaching classes, Hollywood production techs and whatnot. And so students, you know, really have an opportunity there to learn from the faculty. We just hired two new faculty as well,
right.
One a writing instructor and one a narrative filmmaker. They're coming on next fall. We are in the process of we just hired a new director for FTV, and we'll have a new dean of TFTV
right.
As well. So there's going to be, you know, some exciting things. So, you know, I'm kind of in that I wonder what's going to happen
yeah.
mode
happen
as far as the wondering.
And the other thing that's exciting cool. is the department is a school. It's now called a school. It was a department. It's now a school of theater, film, and television. You know, 20, 10, 15 years ago, there was some talk about eliminating the journalism department and eliminating mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. film and television departments and
bad
so forth
idea.
And consolidate.
Yeah.
And they survived those budget cuts many years ago and have thrived and have really growing and the students. And Bill and I, you know, we're talking earlier, if you haven't seen the I Dream in widescreen and you want to see what we're teaching students, go to the Fox in the spring, and oh my goodness, there's 10, 15, 20 films that are shown, and they're mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. Award-winning quality. So.
Yeah, I did quality control on those this year, for this year's screening, and it's always right at the beginning of May, you know, so people can watch out for that. And we sold out the Fox Theater this year. I mean, I think right. we turned people away, actually. It's a people know about it in the community. It's a great opportunity to see what the U of A students are doing in the BFA, you yeah. know, majors.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dave Wing, instructor at the College of Fine Arts School of Theater, Film, and Television. Appreciate you, your perspective, and all the good things you've done for students over the years, both at the U of A and also at Pima College. Scott Blake, thank you for your professionalism and what you do in terms of great videography. People have seen your work over the years thousands of times. They just don't know that you were behind the camera. But and a lot of our most of our Ackerley Advertising commercials are filmed or are shot by Scott Blake. And Bill Ackerley, thank you for putting this together. What a great session this morning.
Thank you guys for coming. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things at the U of A, and you're listening to The Morning Voice, this segment sponsored by Caruso's and Hughes Federal Credit Union. We'll be back after a short break.
Fun.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Great day so far talking to Elisa and the folks from Earn to Learn. What a great segment that was. And, of course, the last hour has been with Dave and Scott and Bill talking about video. That was pretty good.
That was really fun.
Yeah, we're going to have them back. We were talking about having Sally Shamrall come back and talk about the movie that she's putting together here in Tucson. And Scott's involved in that, so we might have Sally come back and talk. Sally's our friend from K-Gun.
Definitely look forward to that one.
K-Gun and Channel 4 as well. This is the Friday that we talk about the good things going on at the university, and the Wonder Series is sponsored by Crusoe's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and our good friends who are on today from Hughes Federal Credit Union. Next week is 4th of July, and we'd have a great show lined up. We have one of the commanders from Davis Monthan Air Force Base will be talking to us about freedom and what the Air Force does for keeping us safe and free. There's a show at noon at Flandreau Planetarium that'll be a pretty cool event. That's an indoor laser show with a kind of a theme for 4th of July, a good place to take the family and get out of the heat. And then I'm really excited about interviewing some folks from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they'll be here and talking to us later that night on the 4th of July. They'll have their game with Kansas City, but then they'll have the huge fireworks that they have up in Phoenix. So I'm actually going to the game, and so it'll be nice to run up to the game. Starts at 6:10 p.m. up in the Chase Field, and so I'm looking forward to seeing Luis Gonzalez and my friends up at the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that'll be on next week's show on Friday for July 4th. Our other hosts are, of course, Lydia Aranda will be here on Monday with Rainmakers. General Ted Max will host our Tuesday show with Engagement. Grant Kruger, who we saw last night, him and Tom at the Eat and Greet. Grant does Food for Thought and a little bit of politics. And Tom Moulton is Thursday. He handles our Southern Arizona Attractions. And, of course, I do Success and Wonder on Fridays. Speaking about the 4th of July, our guest right now is Charles Heller. He's the host of Swap Shop and Liberty Watch Radio right here on AM 1030 AM, Sunday from 10 to 1. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you for inviting me in.
So for the last 20 years, this will be the 20th year, you've been doing something pretty special regarding 4th of July. So on Friday at 8:30 a.m. next week, you'll be doing something. Tell us what you got planned.
We are doing a dramatic, a sort of responsive reading of the Declaration of Independence. I've got a document. It's on my website. I'll plug it later. But it is the Declaration separated into 27 parts so that you can run an event with this document and you can download it on your phone. I sent it to the phone. I think I sent you a copy of it.
You did.
And you can actually, it's broken into the segments so that what happens is if you have a crowd of, say, a couple hundred people,
right,
you pass out several hundred copies of the document and then you agree in advance who's going to take part number 1, 2, 3, 4 and such. And then in order, the voices in the crowd just speak up. And you have voices from different directions. It's almost like doing taps with an echo bugle. Mm-hmm. And it creates the effect of all these people who are thinking the same thing, literally reading off the same page. And then at the end, we all join together to pledge our lives, our fortunes and our sacred honor, all in one voice. And it's just a wonderful, it's a way of, it's like renewing your vows to the country.
Right, right. And so this is not, there's no fee. This is informal,
no,
and it's not sponsored by any organization or political party or any direction or anything like that.
Nope.
It's just open to everyone to celebrate freedom and to celebrate our independence. And
right.
You've been doing this for 20 years. What got you into starting this and why have you kept that up for 20 years?
Emil Franzi got me into the idea. We used to do a movie, and then COVID hit, and I realized that the salient feature of the event wasn't the movie, as important as the movie industry is, that the salient feature wasn't coming together to watch a movie. The salient feature of the day was coming together to read the Declaration of Independence. And once I obtained clarity on that, I decided that it was the unifying thing. It was the sine qua non of the day, without which there is not. And so I just decided we'd do this. And we had been doing the read in front of the movie once, many times at the Loft and a few times at University Park Marriott. And they were really good with us, too. They gave us the room if we would buy food from them. And I just told everybody, go buy food. And they did, and it worked out profitably for them. But since then, since COVID,
right,
they've managed to rent the room out, and so
yeah,
good for them. And because I wasn't giving them, you know, cash money for the room, so. But anyway, we decided. Christopher DeSimone suggested that we meet in front of UDAL because there wasn't anything going there at the rec center on the 4th of July. So that's where we meet. There's a big tree, huge shade tree there. It's some kind of a a willow of some kind, and it's, I don't know, most of 100 feet high, at least 80 feet high, and it throws wonderful shade at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so that's where we meet to do the read.
And the read starts right at 9 o'clock, so you got to be there a little bit before 9, right?
Right. And there are
plenty of free parking and lots of handicap close and everything, right?
Right. As a matter of fact, what we can, what you can even do is you can even park in that, there's a round L there that right up to it, and there won't be any parking enforcement. I always bring my vehicle up because I've got a table and I've got a high, you know, a bar stool that I sit on to do this and, you know, and a few other odds and ends. And everybody should bring a couple bottles of cold water for themselves and give one or two to give away and sort of make it an act of fellowship, handing somebody a bottle of water and introduce yourself. I'll have 100 copies of the document, and I'm expecting this year about 200 people. Last year we had about 90 people. But this year I put it out on, it's on KVOI. I put a 15-second, thank you for running the liner on the event.
You're welcome.
I also have it on the Drive and on the Groove. Mm-hmm. And I put it all over Nextdoor. Nextdoor sent me a note that said, congratulations, 1,800 people have looked at your post.
Wow.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, and not to be intimidated, you don't have to read the declaration.
No.
You don't have to be one of the 27 people. So you can come and enjoy and not feel like you're going to trip over some words or anything, and just come and listen to what other people are reading and then enjoy the camaraderie and the spirit of that. Bring a chair if you want to sit down.
Right. If you need to sit down, bring a chair. There's a couple of benches, but they fill up rather quickly.
Yeah.
And so
you don't have to have a chair because you can stand and it doesn't take that long.
It's just a few
minutes. So
yeah, 9-minute read or something like that. The only two words you have to know if you get those parts are magnanimity and consanguinity. Those are the only two really hard words in the declaration.
And you prep those people that are going to sing.
Yeah, it's part number 24 and part number 14, I think, that have those words in it. So I go up to those people, and we all, as people arrive, I'm passing out copies. I say, do you want to read? If they say no, we're just gonna read along. Fine. If they say, and some of the ones on Nextdoor, do you still have any parts left to read? And I just start passing them out at 8:35 when people arrive. So, and assigning the parts then.
And you know, just the question begs to be asking here. You're 20 years into this. Why do you keep doing this? Why do you think it's important that the community read the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July? And why is Charles Heller still at it 20 years later, making this an important part of the celebration that Tucson does for Independence Day?
Because 250 years ago, a number of people pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And if they're willing to do that, the least I could do, the absolute least I could do, is print up a few copies of it and make sure that their effort is remembered. I have a moral duty as a citizen to do things like that, and I think we all do. You know, some people are going to organize, excuse me, some people are going to be organizers. Some people are going to be participants, and some people are going to be observers. That's okay. Right. That beautifully identifies America and who does things, who participates, and who watches. That's completely okay.
Right.
But I do it because I'm still breathing.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And still coughing, evidently.
So the reading of the Declaration of Independence, Charles Heller will lead that. That'll be on this coming Friday, a week from today, at 8:30 a.m. to start gathering. The reading takes place at 9 o'clock. This is at Udall Park, 7200 East Tankaverde, under the big tree right in front of the rec center there. Can't miss it. Plenty of free parking. Bring some water. Bring a chair if you need to sit down. It'll only last 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe, max 45 minutes you'll be there. So if you need to bring a chair, feel free. No, this is patriotic, not political or partisan. So and wear a hat. It's going to be a little toasty. It's always toasty on the 4th of July. So
now there may be people there in the political realm.
Yeah, but that's not what this
is. But this is free speech. Yeah. So I'm not going to tell somebody, don't you dare come here with campaign stuff or something like that. But I'm there for the declaration, and I'm not sponsored by anybody. And
that's great.
And, not Caruso's, not Ackerley. Yeah. And I don't want sponsorship because freedom sponsors itself.
Yeah, that's great. That's Charles Heller. He is the In Liberty, he says, he is the host of Swap Shop and Liberty Watch radio on Sunday mornings. How long have you been doing that, Charles?
On KVOI on October the 22nd, it'll be my 21st anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations.
But overall, I've been doing the program 27 and a half years.
That's great, and you do a great job of that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Trains are coming.
There you go. Thank you so much, Charles, for being here. And good luck on next Friday, a week from today, at reading of the Declaration of Independence at Udall Park.
Thank you, Ed.
You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is the Wonder segment where we talk about the good things going on at the U of A. Had a great conversation with our friends Dave Wing and Scott Blake about...
Man, that was a lot of fun.
Wasn't that fun? The all the video teaching we do at the U of A and just that whole hour.
We'll have the podcast up shortly, Facebook and YouTube. You can watch it there. A lot of good stories there.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
From Bill. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for putting that together. I just wanted to do a quick recap. Adam, you were at your second Eat and Greet last night. We had Casa del Rio last night. You did the Caruso's one a couple of weeks ago. Pretty fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great time. I had an absolutely wonderful time.
It was amazing how many people showed up, and we crammed that room over there. Matt was there. We had Tom was there. I was there. Grant was there. It was pretty fun. We had lots of people.
I never knew that Thursday was Tiki Thursdays. I didn't know that was a feature of Casa del Rio, which I will have to avail myself of in the future.
It was pretty amazing, and they had the dancers there and everything. It was pretty cool.
I'm telling you.
It was aloha. It was pretty good. We got to get Val Romero over there with
come
aloha.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The king of barbecues. We got to get him over there. And while we were there, I'm actually 2.5 hours ahead of time here, and I'm going to usurp my brother. But my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, at noon today up in Phoenix, will be gifted with a nationwide award. There's only been four of them. He's the fourth person to get a Lifetime Achievement Award for the American Choral Directors Association, Arizona chapter. And we just want to congratulate Julian, his wife, Dr. Jane Ackerley, and they're on their way. Today is his last official day at the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. It was great to have him last night at the Eat and Greet, and we wish them much success. They're going to take off for a little summer vacation and be back in October, and he's had a great run, and congratulations on his Lifetime Achievement Award. That's very fantastic. It was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, okay. Bill, can you tell us a little bit about Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon? We wrapped that up, and we did pretty good, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a great event over at Lucky Strike Bowl. We raised over $2,000 for Drachman Elementary School, and that's our fourth year of doing it. So over 4 years, we've raised over $10,000 for elementary school sports equipment. So
that's great. It's planned for the next one next June. So
yeah, we always do it the Saturday before Father's Day. So
right. That's great. That's great. Our next Eat and Greet is scheduled for Thursday, July 24th, which is a wonderful place we're going to go. We're going to go to Dragon's Palace, our friend Sally Lee, and she has a couple of restaurants here in town, but she has the Bamboo View, but she also has... and then that date might change a little bit because they're under remodeling. They're doing it right now, as a matter of fact, so... but we're looking at that Thursday, the 24th, might be the day, and unless Matt says that that's not a good day.
It's always a good day.
Yeah, okay. And we had a great time at Bamboo View. That was our first one, and so we'll do an eat and greet and celebrate Dragon's remodel. It's a beautiful place. Food's delicious. I was there yesterday with Sally and took some food home to my wife, and she just really enjoyed it. I happened to have to go to eat Mexican food, but my wife got to eat the Chinese food. So that'll happen on the 24th, and we talked a little bit, Bill, about video. I wanted to give you a chance to just talk about how important video has been to Ackerley Advertising. We spent a good portion of time talking about why companies should get on the video train and get a video for their website, get a video for their YouTube channel, get a video for running on local TV stations and cable and so forth. So why is video so important?
Well, yeah, we can help people out, local businesses, local companies that need help with video on their website or anything, or a television commercial.
Right.
And I hire the best people. Yep. Scott Blake was here today, and Dave Wing. There's two of my favorite people in Tucson, so right. I was glad they had a chance to come in and tell war stories about their thing. But
I ran for mayor, and Adam, I don't want to diss anything in your generation, which is a lot of digital is really important, and we're on Facebook, and digital is important, and I love it, and it's a great thing. But I ran twice for mayor of the city of Tucson, and Never once had anybody walk up to me and said, hey, I saw your post on in X, or I saw this. Not one person in the time that I ran, but guess what? They did come up and say, saw your TV commercial. Right. I heard you on the radio. And that's the whole entire time. So when I talk to clients of ours who are thinking about getting into video and getting on the radio and TV, I tell them that story and say, it's still in Tucson, Arizona. That's a powerful tool, and we need to use it for what we can use it for to make it an important thing.
So we like to anchor our campaigns in traditional media and actually advertising. It still works.
I know I'm a legacy guy, and I'm a traditional guy, but it does work, and it does. This show is an example of legacy media does still work, and there are people that listen and have good results with it. So we appreciate that. Wow, what a busy show today out there, Matt. It was crazy, wasn't it?
We covered a lot of ground today. Yeah. Choir Practice is the name of Sally's movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Choir Practice. Yeah, yeah, we're going to try to get Sally on the air and talk with her. She's a good friend. So a reminder that Lydia Ronda is coming up on Monday with Rainmakers. On Tuesday, our good friend General Ted Maxwell will be here. And on Wednesday, Grant Kruger. And on Thursday, Tom Moulton will do Southern Arizona Attractions. I need to mention that is sponsored by Visit Tucson, our good partners at Visit Tucson. And then I'll be back this coming Friday with a great show about Independence Day and 4th of July with Davis Month and Air Force Base, Flandreau Planetarium, and our good friends at the Arizona Diamondbacks. So this is Friday, success and wonder, and we want to thank Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union, one for being here this morning, but also for sponsoring Wonder at the University of Arizona on The Morning Voice. Thank you, Matt Neely. Thank you, Bill Ackerley. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it. Great weekend. We'll see you all next week on The Morning Voice.